Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this online harvest service from Olney Baptist Church. My name is Sid Bond, and I am one of the elders at the church. This morning, we not only come to worship and to give thanks, but also to hear about the work of Tear Fund, our chosen Christian charity for this year's harvest. Our Bible reading today is from the book of Ruth, chapters 1 and 2. Our text for the week is taken from Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. And that reads, "As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." That's what God said to Noah. Let's pray, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise you for all that you are. You are a great God and rule in majesty and splendor. You are merciful and forgiving. You are just in all of your ways. We thank you for your many blessings and ask that you would draw near to us as we sing, as we pray, and as we listen to your word. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, our first hymn this morning is 585, a good harvest hymn. We plough the fields and scatter, and Catherine and Jonathan are going to sing that to us.
Thank the Lord, oh thank
We come now to our prayers of intercession. So let's all pray. Father in heaven, we come to you knowing that you are the unchangeable God of heaven and earth. Your greatness and power cannot be measured, and although we can't see you, we believe and trust that you watch over us. We do bless your name for the faith you have given us and trust in your unconditional love. We thank you for harvest time, which reminds us of all you provide and of the great variety of produce which is in this world in which we live. We are indeed, Father, well blessed by you. We thank you that sun, moon, and stars are all kept in order by your mighty power. And we pray, Father, that the peoples of this world will learn to understand that all things come from your hand and will learn to love and to appreciate you. For you are Lord of all. Father, we pray for those countries where the harvests have failed and ask that you would meet the needs of the people and that wealthier countries around the world would send help. We think of Syrian refugees in Lebanon and pray for them. We ask that the Lebanese authorities will be kind to them and keep them safe. Father, that these refugees will find somewhere to live and that they can even move on from Lebanon. We pray for Tear Fund as they work amongst those refugees. We pray for guidance and for good decision making by Tear Fund. We thank you for Tear Fund and the work that it does. We pray that you will bless its work and they will be able to continue and extend its operations despite the difficulties of today's world. And Father, we pray for the poor people of this world, very often going hungry and also now at risk of COVID-19. Please, Father, meet their needs for food and water and protect them from this deadly virus. We pray for those who are helping them. Please keep them safe. And finally, Father, we pray that a vaccine for COVID-19 will soon be available. We thank you for all those who are working in this scientific field. In Jesus' name, we ask all of these things. Amen. As we think about harvest and all that God has blessed us with, I thought it would be good if we look at some verses in Genesis and how God arranged things for us in the beginning. So I'm reading a few verses from Genesis chapter 1, verses 29 to 31, and the first verse of Genesis chapter 2. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 29. And this is God speaking to Adam and Eve. And God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth, and the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food, And it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. And verse 1 of chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. And then one verse from Genesis chapter 8. This is God speaking to Noah after the flood. And God says this to Noah. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Harvest is evidence of God's goodness. Also, these verses remind us that God set up the foundations of harvest a very long time ago. And Genesis chapter 8, verse 22 reminds us that God sustains the weather and seasons by his powerful word. Let me read it again to you. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. These things are sustained by God's powerful word. We can rely on God to keep his word. We can have confidence in him, for we belong to him. What is certain in an uncertain world? Well, what is certain is that the sun will rise and the sun will set, that night follows day and day follows night, and that the seasons will continue. God has put all things in place, and they will continue, for he is in control. He is the sovereign Lord. Praise his name. God is not only creator of all things, but he is the great redeemer as well. For he sent Jesus to die on the cross for all mankind. So as we give thanks and praise for the harvest, let's also thank God for his great salvation. We've got a song now which Catherine and Jonathan are going to sing to us. Song number 16, Almighty God, We Bring You Praise. We've got two readings today, and the first reading, which is from Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 to 21. That's Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 to 21, and Corrine is going to read those verses for us.
Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 to 21. Naomi loses her husband and sons. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness, as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud, and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait till they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me.
Thank you, Corinne, for that reading. We come to another song now. I've no number for you because I couldn't find it in the hymn books, but we know it. How great is our God, how great is his name. How great is his love, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. And he says, I'll never leave you, put your trust in me. And Catherine and Jonathan are going to sing that to us.
How great is our God? How great is his name? How great is his love? Forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. And he said, I'll never leave you. Put your trust in me.
We come now to our second reading, and Chris is going to read this to us. And we're still in the book of Ruth. It's Ruth chapter 2, verses 2 to 12. Ruth chapter 2, verses 2 to 12.
And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favour. Naomi said to her, go ahead, my daughter. So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you, they answered. Boaz asked the overseer of the harvesters, who does that young woman belong to? The overseer replied, she is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters. She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So Boaz said to Ruth, my daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled. At this she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, "Why have I found such favour in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge."
Thank you, Chris, for that reading. I said at the beginning in the introduction that our chosen Christian charity this year is Tear Fund, and Tear Fund have sent along an online visitor, and that is Val Dufour, and she's going to speak to us now. She's going to bring the message for this morning.
Good morning. My name is Val Dufour, and I'm a speaker for the charity Tear Fund. Thank you so much for this opportunity to share with you about the work of Tear Fund. And I want to thank you so much for your church's faithful support for us for many years. Your generosity has enabled us to transform the lives of many of the world's very poorest people. Thank you. Today is your harvest service, as it is in my own church in Ipswich. Although we are not able to meet physically, yesterday we brought, as we usually do, and I expect you do, gifts of food to the church, well, to our car park, vegetables, fruit, cereals, which will be shared with our local food bank. A harvest offering is such a special feature of our church life, a time when we celebrate and give thanks to our faithful, generous God for the beauty and abundance with which his creation blesses us. These words from Psalm 67, verses 9 to 13, describe God's provision so beautifully. "You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with corn, for so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and levels its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with corn. They shout for joy and sing." Bringing our harvest gifts to the church is rooted in Scripture. In Deuteronomy 26, the Israelites were told to take some of the first fruits of their harvest in their new home of the Promised Land and offer them as a sacrifice to the Lord. In verse 11 of that chapter it says, "You shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord has given to you." And we do rejoice and praise God today that we are able to do this. We have food, homes, we have a God who watches over us and who is always with us. Each day he grants us his gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of love, of power and of wisdom. How blessed we are. We thank you, Heavenly Father. And yet we know that in our world today, millions of people are without a secure home. Millions do not have enough to eat. Children starve. Conflict and climate change has forced many to flee, no longer able to grow or to work to produce the food they need. In another chapter in Deuteronomy, chapter 10, God spoke to Moses, saying, "What does the Lord ask of you but to fear the Lord and walk in obedience to him, to love him and serve him? For the Lord is God of gods, Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And you are to love those who are foreigners. I've been a volunteer with TFUND a long time, and I love that our work is rooted in and inspired by the Bible, by words like those which I've just shared. TFUND follows Jesus to the places of greatest need. And through our Christian partner churches, we provide support and training to enable the very poorest to lift themselves out of poverty. We help people of any faith and none, and we aim to see lives restored to their full God-given potential. If I'd been speaking to you at the beginning of this year, I would have said that going forward, TFUND faces two great challenges, conflict and climate change. Now we have the COVID pandemic as well. This is placing great challenges on the communities we serve and our partners and churches. Please remember them in prayer, asking that they will have the resilience and resources to keep going. May God bless and strengthen them in all that they are doing. For me, and I expect for many of you, COVID has meant more time at home. I invite you to take a moment now and think about, what does home mean to you? Perhaps words like security, family, love, rest, relaxation came to mind. Home is part of our identity, is it not? Our memories are there. It's where our children first learn about relationships, for example. Home is special, precious. TFUND believes home should be a place where people can feel safe and grow. So what is it like when suddenly you are forced to leave your home, to leave everything that is precious? One of the places of greatest need today is in Lebanon with Syrian refugees, with people forced to leave their home. People like a lady called Tamam. She is a mother of three, and her story mirrors so much of the Bible story of Naomi and Ruth. Before it was ripped apart, Tamam lived a quiet and comfortable life in northern Syria. She and her family had a home in the countryside where they reared goats and cultivated fruits, vegetables and an olive grove. Life was happy and secure. And then conflict, fighting, ISIS. Life became a greater and greater struggle. Water and electricity were restricted. Her crops failed. The goats died one by one. She lost one of her children. Then the very worst happened. Her beloved husband was killed in a car accident. This grief, with the fighting, death and destruction all around, were almost too much to bear. For the safety of her remaining two children, she had to get out. She packed a few things and they fled through the night in terror and fear. Somehow, by the grace of God, they crossed the border into Lebanon. When Ruth and Naomi arrived in Bethlehem, they had nothing. Tamam, like them, had nothing. Like them, her despair was complete. In the Bible, Naomi says of herself, Call me Mara, bitter. Feelings Tamam, arriving in Lebanon, could share. Our Bible book of Ruth is well loved, a story that's often shared at harvest time, because although it starts with bitterness and despair, it does not end there. We find so much love in the story. First, there is Ruth, faithful Ruth, who sticks with Naomi, saying those moving words, "Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." Ruth reaches out with such love and respect to Naomi, and Naomi, after her initial reluctance, accepts her companionship. And then there is Boaz. He reaches out to Ruth, the foreigner, with protection, provision, the instructions he gives about gleanings, and with water. He shows her great respect and generosity. And it leads to so much more. If you know the story, you know that Ruth and Boaz eventually marry, and she and Naomi are totally restored as a family and in their community. Why did Boaz reach out as he did? The Bible portrays him as a man of standing who followed God devoutly and followed the teachings of Scripture like those I shared earlier. I expect Boaz knew this instruction in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 22. When you reap the harvest, do not reap to the very edges or gather the gleanings. Leave them for the poor and for the foreigner among you. Boaz did what God asked. He understood that our God has a heart for the poor, for the widow, the orphan, the foreigner, a heart of compassion and justice. So, Tamam, in Lebanon today, who is Boaz for her? I praise God that Tear Fund is working there through a partner which supports a place called the Tahadi Centre. This centre is right in the middle of the very deprived part of Beirut where Tamam and her children now live. As Tamam had no money, the centre helped her to set up a home, giving her mattresses and financial support when she first arrived. Her two children have had counselling to help them overcome the trauma they experienced. And they also attend education classes run by the centre. The centre provides medical care for the refugees. And, especially vital for Tamam, they train women in sewing skills, helping them to reach a level where they can earn money from the garments they make. Tamam was delighted to join the sewing program. She had learnt a new skill which has given her hope and plans for the future. But just as important, she has found a loving, welcoming feeling of fellowship, a new sense of home. She said this, "I thank the Tahadi Centre, and I also thank the other women that are with me in the sewing program. They have become like sisters for me. They're very caring, very kind." Tamam is being released from the horrors of the past. She's more positive about the future and her dream of returning to Syria one day. She says, "When I think about going back to my home one day, I feel happy, because now I will be able to open a sewing shop and teach my children the same skills. We can make a living from this." Tamam and her family are beginning to hope. The work of the Tahadi Centre is tough. There is so much need, and now it is complicated and increased by COVID and the recent so destructive explosion in Beirut. The centre survived, but the homes of many staff were damaged and some had minor injuries. Most of the vulnerable people supported are safe. And so the work continues amongst the refugees and also with poor Lebanese people who need help with food and shelter. So this morning, I want to invite you. Can you be like Boaz and reach out generously to people who have lost everything? Have you gleanings, first fruits that you are able to share with others? We heard earlier how God loves the widow, the foreigner. Jesus told us in the parable of the Good Samaritan that we are called to help those we don't know, those who are not even like us, those even that we may not find it easy to love. If, for example, you were able to give £7 a month for a year, that would support one refugee family with life-giving training and support. £14 for a month for a year would support two families, and so on. Is God calling you to do this? You can give easily online by going to the TFN giving page, www.tfn.org/tamam, where you can find all the information you need. And please, would you indicate that it was a speaker talk that prompted you to give? And also give the name of your church. That way we can feedback to your church leader. Regular giving in this way is crucial to help us consistently release people from despair and poverty and plan for the future. Thank you. Let me close in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you for the stories of Ruth and Naomi and Tamam, which remind us that you are a great God of provision, compassion and justice. Thank you for the help Tamam has received, and we ask your further blessing upon her and your guidance and provision for TFN's partners in Lebanon, as they work with thousands of refugees and poor Lebanese. Lord, we ask for peace to come to Syria and to Lebanon. Will you raise up your leaders to build peace? Father, as we celebrate harvest, thank you for all that we have, all your provision. We praise you for the beauty of creation, and we ask your forgiveness for all that has been spoiled and destroyed because of human conflict and greed. Father, help us to stand alongside families who have lost everything. Help us to share your compassion with people in greatest need who feel broken and abandoned. We pray that for all families fleeing their homes, they will find a place of welcome and safety. Help us not to look away, but to play our part in restoring a sense of home. And Father, finally, I thank you for your church at Olney Baptist. I pray your blessing upon them as they seek to know you more and to share your love with others. May their faith in you grow in strength and fruitfulness. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Val, for that message this morning, and thank you for joining us online. So we come to our closing hymn, which is number 717, and it's another harvest hymn, and it's Fill Your Hearts with Joy and Gladness. And again, Jonathan and Catherine are going to sing that to us.
Fill your heart. with joy and gladness, sing and praise your God and mine. Great the Lord in love and wisdom, might and majesty divine. He who framed the starry heavens knows and names them as they shine. Praise the Lord, his people praise him, wounded souls his comfort know. Those who fear him find his mercies, peace for pain and joy for woe. Humble hearts are high exalted, human pride and hallelujah. Praise the Lord for times and seasons, cloud and sunshine, wind and rain, spring to melt the snows of winter till the waters flow again. Grass upon the mountain pastures, golden valleys thick with grain. Fill your hearts with joy and gladness, peace and plenty crown your days. Love his laws, declare his judgments, walk in all his words and ways. He the Lord and we his children,
and so we come to our closing prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we can put our trust in you. And we praise you, for you are Almighty God. And you know each one of us by name. You know each one of us by character and personality. And Father, although we are imperfect, you love us through and through. And we do thank you. We thank you for Jesus, who died for us on the cross. Lord Jesus, we do thank you that you can not only be our Saviour, but our heavenly friend. And we can call upon you any time of the day or night. So Father, we do thank you, and we do ask that you would help each one of us to follow you and to love you more and to be your disciples. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.